that, I believe it's 5 o'clock, so I'll go ahead and call this April 25th, 2019 meeting of the Carson City Library Board of Trustees to order. And we may proceed with the roll call.
Chairperson Hayes.
Present.
Vice Chair Long.
Here.
Trustee Cranston.
Here.
Trustee Patton.
Here.
Trustee Solinger.
Here.
A quorum's present.
Thank you very much. Before we go to public comment, I do want to note for the record that we are going to move the item 7, the other administrative reports, to after the Friends of the Carson City Library report. So we'll take item 7 after item 4. And with that, we'll move on to item 2, public comment. If any members of the public wish to address the board, now would be the time. Please state your name for the record.
Sina Lloyd, for the record. First time I've been in the Sierra room with the new mics. I like it. So I just wanted to thank library staff, Carson City Human Resources staff, and the library board for a public and transparent process for the recruitment for the library director position. I would like to take this opportunity to also remind the library board of their commitment in this community to provide the best possible library service, possibly one of the best in the country. And with that, in NRS and Nevada's minimum public library standards, there's a responsibility for the library board to select a qualified library director candidate for this role. And the minimum public library standards state population with a service area over 50,000, which would be Carson City, requires that a public library jurisdiction shall have the ability or shall have a library director who holds a master's degree in library and information science from a college or university accredited by the American Library Association. So I just want that on the record so that you guys remember that when you are selecting the candidates for your interviews, that you do consider that. I would also like to recommend that the library board consider holding a meet and greet with the top finalists for the position with the community and library staff specifically, so all library staff have the opportunity to have a conversation with those finalists. And then receive that feedback on the meet and greet before making that final hiring decision. The library board can allocate through an agenda item at a future meeting funding for that to take place as well. So that's my public comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Sina. Were there any other members of the public that wished to address the Library Board of Trustees? Seeing none forthcoming, we can move on to item 3, approval of the meeting minutes from the previous meeting. Have all the board members had a chance to review those minutes, and were there any corrections necessary?
I did not see anything that needed to be corrected, so unless somebody else did, I'll move to accept the minutes as presented.
I'll second.
Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. With that, we can move on to item 4, the Friends of the Carson City Library report.
Diane Baker, for the record, we don't have a representative here, so the report stands as is.
Thank you very much. As noted at the beginning of the meeting, we are going to move to item 7 at this time. So we will start with the access services update.
Sorry. First thing, Ermel Reinhardt, for the record. So first thing we have is a new staff member, Anna Curlin. So she joins us from Boise State University. She's had experience over at the Meridian Library District, as well as the Library of Congress, doing everything from cataloging to reference. So she has quite a bit under her belt. She is adapting well and learning quick at our library, and we're really excited to have her and finally have that position filled. So Access Services is now at full staff. Next thing I have is check-in, and so a little fun fact. On an average day, we receive about 600 items through the machine. And sometimes it can go up to 800 or more. So this machine is just a great time saver for us. It serves, you know, several staff. It would take several staff members to just do what it does. So the time saved can be directed towards other pursuits. So it's greatly, greatly, greatly beneficial to us. And hopefully it continues trucking along for the next few years. And that's all I have.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Ermal. With that, we'll move on to the creative learning update.
Maria Cuesta, creative learning manager, for the record. So I just wanted to share a couple different updates. So on April 13th, the Petal Library went to Browser's Corner Bookstore because they were celebrating their fifth anniversary, which is very exciting. They had a ton of people come to that event. Basically, they offered a lot of their items at half price, and people really enjoyed coming in just to check out the space, especially if they hadn't come there before. And I spoke with people about upcoming events that the library is offering, including the Summer Learning Challenge, which will kick off on Saturday, June 8th. A couple of other outreach events that we've offered this month included going to the Boys and Girls Club of Western Nevada for their Good Character and Leadership Day. They had over 100 participants, ranging from ages 6 to 17. And we brought augmented reality with us on our mini iPads, so they got to check out different planets, moons, asteroids, and it was really neat for them just to learn about those different things. On April 15th, we had a Parks and Rec group come to see our Explore Earth, our Changing Planet exhibit, which we have through the end of this month. So they got to tour the different panels. They learned about the different ecosystems and weather through the kiosk games and puzzles. And then they also had a chance to learn about different wildlife. And as a side note, we also had Carson Montessori come last month, a first grade class, and they actually made us this nice poster. So I'll leave it here for you guys to look at later if you'd like. It's really amazing that they put this together. So each student actually wrote down what their favorite thing was about their visit to the library. So they got a tour of the entire facility, but they also got to learn more about the Explore Earth exhibit. And then lastly, I also have outreach tomorrow. Well, Next Step program is coming to try virtual reality for the first time. And the Next Step is a vocational program, and it's offered through the Carson City School District. And this program focuses on supporting students with transitioning into the workforce. So they did come last month as well to get a tour of the library. And I was able to go over the different services that we offer for free. They were very excited. And then when they learned about the virtual reality, they were very interested in trying that. So we're looking forward to it. And that is all I have for you.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Maria. With that, we'll move on to our collection development update.
Amy Lauder, collection development manager, for the record. April is a very busy month in collection development land. We have been, one of our biggest projects is we've been executing our state collection development grant for the year. And we were able to deliver, I guess, about 2 weeks ago, about 600 books, I think it was, additional books for the youth area of the Boys and Girls Club building. So Maria and Jana helped me deliver all, there were about 12 boxes of books, and we set those up on their shelves there. So they have lots of shiny new books. The kids are really excited. And in addition to that, not purchased by the grant, but we found some equipment that we could use to set up a self-checkout station in that space as well, so they wouldn't be quite as dependent on only a few hours a week of our staff time. We still have James is over there twice a week, and that's a huge help with the kids. They love having him there. But this just kind of expands the services that we're able to offer and the books they're able to use. And so they also have the club is providing shelving for the teen area. That's on order. So as soon as that is in, we will have our little mini teen library to set up, hopefully in the next few weeks here. So that's really exciting. So it's about 10 times as many library books as we had had over there. So that's really good. The other big thing, well, two more big things. One other big thing that happens in April is our yearly Capital City Reads program. I talked about a little bit about it last month, just a little update. We had great showing at our book discussion the other day, I believe, Jana told me. Lots of people at the craft night as well, especially. And so we had summer programs going on. We've given away pretty much all the books. Some of them I can tell that people have read, and they've started bringing them back for other people to pick up and read. So that's wrapping up nicely over the next week. And then earlier in the month, we had Library Legislative Day. Again, happens, well, every 2 years. And Rachel March in the Collection Development Department has been instrumental over the past several years in planning the luncheon for our state legislators and their staff to let them know about library issues going around the state, what's going on with the Nevada Library Association. So she worked with Joy over at the State Library this year to set this up. It was held in the State Library, I think, for the first time that we remember. You think?
It's been a while. It had been there, in the Ledge building for a number of sessions.
Yeah, so we actually held it in the State Library atrium this year. That was very successful. We had, I think she planned for 150. We had a record attendance of 180. And the bee theme was a hit. The little bees, you know, all the cool legislators had little bees on their lapels for the rest of the day. So that was a success. So I just want to give props to Rachel for doing all of that work. So that's what we've been working on.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Amy. Now, looking in the packet, do we not have a grants update, or is that going to be rolled into the other report? Okay. Phenomenal. In that case, we will jump back to the proper order, and we'll go to item 5, Library Board of Trustees business, starting with discussion and possible action to select a candidate interview pool for the library director position. So, has everybody had some time to review the applications? Are there initial thoughts? What is everybody's mood on them?
Diane, is there a number that you're looking at for us to not to exceed when we're trying to whittle this down a little bit?
Diane Baker, for the record, there's not a hard and fast number on that. The advice to consider is the number that you end up will be the what you will have to consider as far as the length of the meeting. You do need to identify the candidates that you think are the best fit for the library. So the recommendation was hoping, potentially keeping it around 3, maybe a little bit more. So that would be a manageable number as well. But that would be at your pleasure. I'm not sure if it would help if you wanted to kind of work from the bottom and identify candidates that aren't in the top. I don't, that you can choose your approach to working down the list. I'm not sure if that would help get some of that your list in order.
No, I think that's actually a good idea.
Yeah. I was gonna say I have 7.
On the bottom.
No, I have 7 like that I chose. Yeah.
5 and 2 others that I
okay.
Like,
mm-hmm.
So I got about 7
okay.
Also.
Yeah. I That's did 6. Not prioritize mine. I figured if we all like matched up, that was the
right,
sign.
A miracle.
I don't think it's a miracle. I think it'll I think that will determine the
I think three. If each one of us would read our list of the seven that we
the had, one we chose. Okay.
And then we could at least see how many we all agree mm-hmm. on.
That's what I think too.
I don't know that we need to mm-hmm. to be analyzing each one of them mm-hmm. until we get down to that.
Yeah.
That.
And as you're identifying, I just brought up a spreadsheet. I can identify, you know, as you indicate candidates, even your first pass on that or your pass of those that don't make your list, we can go that that way.
Are you still looking too? I have my notes on here and just transferred them. Okay.
So just to get us kicked off, what I did, and for the record, I do want to thank all of the applicants for applying for this position. You know, the deliberation process in no way reflects poorly upon anybody or anything like that. So what I did was I built my candidate pool into three different tiers, and the lowest tier, I have eight candidates in that tier. Do you want me to just to the board members? Do you want me to just go ahead and read off those names?
You choose the ones, yeah.
At the lowest tier.
Your nose.
My nose.
Your nose. Your
definite nose.
Okay.
Because I think that that'll allow us to move,
right.
You know, a good number of candidates out.
Yeah.
So I had Paul Dominic, Candace Horn.
Barbara Tano?
Oh, I'm sorry, Barbara Tano.
Middle name is Dominic.
Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Oh, say that. I'm sorry.
Okay, hold on. Let me just...
P. Barbatano.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Just clarify, these are no's.
Yeah.
Okay.
These are
just
no's
checking.
For Jared.
Well, the... Yeah. The lowest tier.
Yeah.
Horn.
Actually, yeah.
I've got Seckman.
I missed one. Mm-hmm. Horn. Who's it, Seckman?
Sherman.
Seckman. Yeah. Why won't you go down? Sherman.
Strong. Wilburn.
Burn.
Young. And Williams.
Is it all your notes?
Yeah. That's the lowest tier that I had. So I guess we can open the discussion to the lowest tier that I indicated.
Someone else want to? And I actually need to put all their names in. Sure, is that a long? Okay.
For the record, HAYS.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you. I really should just have all their names.
So I had
Do you have any in common?
Yes. So
okay,
I have.
Let's start with those.
One, two, three. The top two, right there. Yeah, that one and Horn. Seckman, I had. I had Sherman. I had them all except for Seckman and Young.
And then I would add to that,
okay,
this is my bottom tier, okay, is Drinka. Sherman's on his list, right? The last name is UNAEZE.
I'm gonna do this better.
And Williams is on there, so that's it.
UNAEZE.
Did someone say Steinmacher already?
No.
Steinmacher?
Yeah.
No, no one said that. It's a negative.
Mm-mm. I will.
Solinger, okay. So you got all yours in there? Diane, I have all of the ones that the two of them have already mentioned.
Okay.
And I did have Steinmacher on my list.
Your good list or your bad list?
Bad list. Not okay. Bad, just didn't quite make the
your
top.
Yeah, it's your tier three.
Yeah. Don't have any real good reason, just a gut feeling when I read through there that wasn't a good fit. Phyllis, does that identify your tier threes?
I can't do that. Everybody. Sorry. That they said.
Yeah, everybody that they said plus Stein.
Okay. I can collapse this a little bit too. Okay. And Cranston.
I have Barbatano, Horn, Seckman, Sherman, Wilburn, Williams, and Young.
Does that look representative? Okay. Diane Solinger, could you remind me on yours? You had Steinmacher plus what other additionals?
Are you asking for negatives again?
Tier three.
I don't know what that means.
So yeah, bottom level.
Okay.
B through F, the full columns.
yes.
Barbatano, Horn. Mm-hmm. No. Seckman, Sherman, Steinmacher, Strong, Unazi, Wilburn, Williams, and Young.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Too fast?
It was my fault.
We were formatting. So, Unazi, tier three.
Okay. Wilburn, Williams, and Young.
Okay. Did I miss? I think I must have missed.
Would you like to have mine again?
Did I miss any of yours, Patton?
I don't think so. I have Steinmacher, Sherman, Barbatano, Horn.
I'm sorry. I had Steinmacher, Sherman, Barbatano, Horn, Williams, and UNAEZE, however you pronounce his name.
Mm-hmm.
So Did you have Strong also? No. Okay. I thought I had heard you to include that one. Okay.
She's kind of at the bottom of my. She's my middle tier.
Silver medal.
Yeah.
We don't have all the candidates.
So with
did I miss any of yours, Diane? I have Steinmacher, Unazi, Strong, Young, Williams in tier three.
Barbatano.
Okay.
Horn. Seckman. Sherman, Steinmacher, Strong, Unazi, Wilburn, Williams, Young.
Fabulous. Thank you.
So with where we're at, having everybody's third tier, it looks like to me, and anybody can stop me if I'm incorrect on this, that Barbatano, Horn, Sherman, Wilbur, and Williams can be moved to the bottom of this list. It looks like all of the trustees have put them in the lowest tier.
And Trustee Patton, just want to make sure that I have captured where I was concerned I still missed somebody. Yes.
Sherman.
Mm-hmm.
Barbatano.
Mm-hmm.
Horn. Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And Nancy.
So, okay, so.
So I did not have Wilburn on my.
Okay, sorry. And then did you. Okay.
She didn't have Drinka.
And you didn't have Drinka on your tier three either, correct? Oh.
I'm having
to sit
here in the wrong pile.
Just want to make sure we're capturing your.
She didn't have Seckman.
And you didn't have Seckman in tier three?
No.
Okay.
Okay, so with those changes, I believe it's Barbatano, Horn, Sherman, and Williams that we can move to the bottom of the. Hierarchy that we're building.
Okay. And we'll do that. Now, and then next we'll be working with tier two?
I believe so.
Okay. Okay.
Just for ease of data manipulation, we can go ahead and term this tier four, I believe, because we do still have tier three candidates that are not wholly put into tier three.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Okay. So did any for the remaining tier three candidates, did any trustees want to campaign for or against them being included in the third tier, or did anybody have any thoughts regarding that?
Yes.
Yes.
On there so we can like see.
Yeah. Those are the three that remain that weren't listed, I think. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Yes. Okay.
All right. So at this time, I'll go ahead and open the discussion about those three candidates that nobody put into tier three. Does everybody find them to be tier one candidates, or?
I do.
What's the consensus?
I'm sorry, you're going to have to read the names. I cannot read that.
It's Cynthia O. Yes.
Laurel.
And. Przyjanski. Yeah. Przyjanski.
Przyjanski.
And Schweiss.
Ask her, and then Schweiss. So if we could go by trustee and let me know if they're tier one or no. Hayes?
For me, Cynthia O.
Okay.
And Przyjanski?
Mm-hmm.
Laurel? were tier one for me.
Okay.
Schweiss on my list was tier two.
They're all one for me.
Okay. Solinger? All right. On the three, Cynthia O, Laurel P, Jay Schweiss, do you have those as tier one or tier two? Would you like me to come back to you? Okay. Patton? For these three, are they tier one or tier two for your list?
Again, it depends.
Cynthia O.
It depends on how many you want in tier one. Cynthia O.
No, it's
you. Cynthia O was mine. Yeah,
second tier choice. One. Okay,
she was in there. Joe Schweiss was in there.
Okay,
and
Laurel P.
She's in my second tier.
Okay. That's good for now. Thank you.
And then just so, just real quick, I don't think that we're looking to limit, specifically to three or anything like that. We're just looking for, what everybody's feeling is at this time.
Correct.
Cynthia is tier one for me, and Laurel is tier one for me. That was tier two.
Okay. Yes.
Oh, Cynthia and Laurel are one, and Schweiss is two.
Thank you.
So I think we all agree about at least two of those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think that we can say solidly that Cynthia O is one of the top applicants so far through this process.
Mm-hmm. And Megan, I'd invite you to, if you have any comments on helping them sort things out, you are welcome to provide any input.
I just want to say I actually did not put mine in tiers. I just picked and I've kind of, yeah. So
I numbered mine one through.
I would like to see us interview at least three or four.
Yeah.
I think.
For sure.
Minimum.
I think we need four at least.
So too. Yeah. I agree.
I'd agree.
Well,
I believe that we interviewed. We invited six people to interviews in 2014, is that correct? And I believe five showed up.
Oh, yeah, better have a buffer then.
I would have to double check on that. I think there were five ultimate, but mm-hmm. I didn't have the number on how many were invited.
Right.
And yeah.
And the time before like that, it was at least that many, maybe even more.
So like five or six. Maybe we should have some five or six names. So I think those top three are in.
I agree with that assessment as well. I think that those top three, Cynthia O, Laurel P, and Schweiss, are currently the front runners.
What we don't know is if they've applied for other jobs, so we should have probably four.
That's why we were saying five or six.
Mm-hmm.
So just for completeness of the chart, because that's how my mind works, I had Unazi as tier two, Drinka as tier two, Steinmacher as tier two, and you've already got Schweiss as tier two. Sure.
I actually have mine set up pretty much similar, so I can go through mine real quick if you'd like.
Of course.
Drinka is two for me.
Mm-hmm.
Schweiss is two for me. I already did that one, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Strong is two. The Nazi is two. And Steinmacher was a one for me.
Got it.
20 years library experience.
You mm-hmm. can fill in mine with twos.
Okay.
mm-hmm.
And Trustee Patton and Solinger, how would you like me to fill in the others that are here?
Actually had really go by what I had. Unacy was in my tier.
Are we doing
three.
Two?
Mm-hmm.
Are we doing twos again?
I think the just fill it. I think the only one that is blank for you is Drinka.
Drinka. Yeah.
That's a two.
I had Drinka and two also.
Oh. Okay. Let me correct what we had there because I think I must have included that in a three. All right. So we are looking for your consideration on Seckman, Strong, and Wilburn.
For mine? I had Wilburn in the first tier.
Tier one?
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
And Young was?
No, Strong and Seckman.
Seckman was in my second tier. And Strong was second or third, kind of right on the borderline there.
Yes.
Would you like me to record that as a three or two? Or
it doesn't make any difference because he's not going to get in the top tier.
So, I mean, if we just go mathematically.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Steinmacher and Drinka.
So just for completeness sake, Diane, will you take a sum to the right?
Of course.
Don't you want an average, lowest score? Not a sum.
Well, I can sum our average.
Just do a sum.
Do a sum? Okay.
Oh my gosh, the number sheets.
It's just a sum.
So the higher the score is, the lower they are on your list.
Will you click on the 11, please, on row 9? Sort and filter.
Oh, top higher right. Functions. How you're going to drive me.
no, right, top right. Underneath the minimize. Yeah, underneath the minimize button.
Okay.
Top right of the entire page. There you go. There sort and go. Filter. Click it. Sort smallest to largest. Nope, the other one. Mm-hmm. Smallest to largest. There,
there
go.
We go.
All right.
Okay. So, to me, you know, if we're considering 5 interviews, I think that there is a delineation between where Drinka is on the list and where Unazi is, jumping from 11 to 13 points. Are there any thoughts from the board members regarding that being the top candidate pool, those 5? Okay. Now, as we were saying, we're looking at interviewing 5. It might be prudent to have a number of alternates in case someone can't attend the interview or something like that. So I would open up the floor to discussing which among the 13-point candidates we want to keep as an alternate in case someone declines. The only one of mine that was tier 2 that did not make the candidate invite list was Unazi. I know that he only had one other tier 2 rating. So, I mean, obviously, you know, just from the data that we've collected, you know, he's the one that I would put forth. But like I said, I'd be willing to hear more from other board members.
I just thought she had all of these.
Because you're it's the only one that got a 1 out of all of them down there.
Right, it is notable.
She has experience.
That Wilburn did receive a 1 rating from Trustee Patton.
I just thought she had experience and education, and it looks like she would fit well with our group, with our community and what we have going for us. Although she did not put down what her objective was in applying for this job.
I think that's why I rated her a little lower. Mm-hmm.
Let me go through 14 people pretty soon get to start.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I don't feel too strongly about any of the other candidates that are left. But since Wilburn didn't get a 1 rating from at least one of us, I think that's a good reason to put her on the alternate list.
I'd agree with that logic. Do any board members have...
Sounds good for me.
Any dissenting opinions?
I did notice Seckman was interested in the business aspect of the library.
In actuality, I thought he would be a good candidate for the Adams Hub position if that's still open.
Right.
That's exactly what I wrote in my notes.
Yeah, because he does have a lot of business and the business development type experience in here. So keep that in mind.
So what do we have? Five, that would make eight. Well, I'm thinking if we choose those three as alternatives.
Which three?
The three we just talked about. So Wilburn, Seckman, and Unazi.
Unazi said he resigned three of his positions.
Yeah. That was my issue with him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't a promotion. It wasn't.
Yes, university libraries. University libraries for Unazi.
Or get bored.
So currently I have highlighted as the possible alternates Unazi, Seckman, and Wilburn.
So considering the difference of experience for Unazi, do we want to remove him from this list and keep Seckman and Wilburn as alternates?
Yes.
I'll agree with that.
Okay.
And I do want to ask for a clarification or guidance from the board as to inviting individuals. Are they being invited to interview in person? And is that an issue from HR? Okay.
Right. I know that there was a question regarding travel expenses and things of that nature.
Which we don't have any support for that. The city does not support it.
Right. So I just wanted to make sure that that was on the record, that we don't have support for travel allowances or anything like that. However, I do believe that inviting them to interview in person would be the most appropriate.
We have teleconference options available, I would imagine. Like they can do a video interview.
I know that we've had phone interviews in this room previously, but I don't know about teleconference.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I believe that, especially with the IT prowess of one of our board members, yeah, we might be able to make that happen.
I think we invite them. I think we invite them in person, and then if there's anything that like is preventing them.
Megan McCarthy for the record. I agree. The HR recommendation would be to invite them for an in-person interview, especially for a position of this caliber. It's not at all out of the normal for them to be expected to come in person. I mean, if you were adamant that you wanted to accommodate and do a phone interview or a Skype interview, we certainly could make it happen. However, I would expect the applicants at this level would be willing to come in person.
I agree.
Yeah, I think that that makes the most sense to me as well. Thank you very much, Megan. So, do any board members have any further discussion regarding the list of people to invite to in-person interviews and the alternates in case any of those invitees are incapable of making it to the meeting, to the interviews? If there's no further discussion on that, on the candidate list, I would entertain a motion.
Yeah.
I move to select the following applicants to be invited for an interview at the Library Board of Trustees May 2019 meeting. We wrote CO. I can't say the whole name. Cynthia.
The last name is O.
Mm-hmm. Cynthia, okay. Laurel, Jay Schweiss, Steinmacher, Drinka, Seckman, and Wilburn.
With the latter two being?
The last two being alternatives if there's any reason that the first five can't make an appearance.
I'll second.
Is there further discussion on that item?
Sorry, I just want to clarify, when we had met previously, we discussed possibly holding a special meeting to hold the interviews. Does that need to be included in the motion if that's the intention?
That's a very good question. And I don't believe that we've discussed this with the board, and it is not an action item today.
Go ahead.
We were considering holding the interviews on at a special meeting of the Library Board of Trustees, shooting for a week prior to our usual meeting, such that we can have a week to consider our options and issue that final decision at the following meeting. Did council have a comment?
Todd Reese, Deputy District Attorney for the record. Yes, I have a comment for you on that. I don't believe that you need to have an action item to set a special meeting. You can discuss it and direct Diane as a library director to go ahead and notice a special meeting. And then we can go from there.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I believe that the motion and the second, there are no edits to that or anything based on the preceding information, correct?
It's still in May, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
So, no.
Okay. So in that case, barring any further discussion, I would enter those in favor may signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. And with that, we can move on to item six, the library directive administrative reports. Director, item six.
Item six. Yay.
There's too much brain spent on candidates.
Fabulous job. Just, I want to start out. Thank you, board, for going through all of the applications. That was a lot to go through and sift into the list that we're going to move forward with. So thank you. So generally, my report here is just a few updates on the senior library assistant. We will be having interviews are planned for May 3rd, and that is to fill the position that Sandy Devaney, our senior library assistant in collection development, when she retired in February. So we're looking to get that moving forward. We are also that not listed here, but we are have received a retirement notice from Elisa Seiler, who has been an important part of the staff, and she is looking to retire next month. So that will be an additional position we'll be looking for. And then maybe we have everything nice and in place. To add to the library legislative update, a couple of things also just to ping off of what Amy said. It was a very great event, and Amy was a strong participant there, but definitely Rachel kept things going on our design. She has that fabulous design and rollout, and just well received across the board as it represented what we were looking for that library legislative day. Updates on a couple of the bills: school libraries. Senate Bill 249 did die in committee. Senate Bill 191, which is from Senator Woodhouse, is still active, and it is to support the having a library in every school. There is also a component on the staffing requirements on that that has been, they've been working through amendments. That bill isn't scot-free at this point, but still is alive. And on the time at the library day at the legislature, Phyllis Patton was there, great participant. Patty Coopersmith, the new president of the Friends, also participated in the day. And we had a great opening at the Adams Hub, where we had the introduction and then some very targeted information about some of the bills, how to talk to legislators, all went over very well. And budget closing, there was on April 19th, the budget closing under the combined Senate and Assembly that I was able to attend, and Jeff Scott, also the Washoe County Library Director, we're able to speak in support of the additional funding that was appearing in the budget and to advocate for some additional funding, especially considering Economic Forum is coming up May 1st, and things seem to be looking good. So if there is additional funds, we will be continuing to advocate with the legislators with regard to keeping that funding or putting some additional funding there as well. The other bills I have there, at the time I wrote this, AB 354 and AB 29 were both firearms in the public libraries or had a relationship to that. Unfortunately, neither one of those went through. The AB 354 would have been adding public libraries to the existing list of schools, childcare centers, NSHE, but that one also died in committee, as did the AB 29, which was a local control, allowing local entities, counties, cities, to determine a number of things where they would have control over designating that. We are still watching for the federal budget with IMLS being targeted on the budget to be defunded, to have a year of funding to wrap down. We have a lot of strong support on the Hill for keeping IMLS, and that would keep a lot of additional funds that come our way. A highlight, one of the things that came up right after Library Day at the legislature, the Workforce Development Initiative that was started in Southern Nevada by the State Library. We're bringing part of that initiative to the north. Carson City Libraries has been designated as one of the showcase libraries for the new online program called Nevada Career Explorer. There's a link there. We did have training. We hosted training that was live streamed and recorded for other libraries, other public libraries participating. This is a great resource that identifies two tiers, whether they're students or adults. So it's for both level workers that are looking either to where to go for a career, or if they're looking for a career change. There's assessment tools in it, career clusters, and other ways for them to explore some potentials if they're considering a different career. I wanted to give you the follow-up on the privacy of library records issue that we had. I believe I mentioned to you that in the last, where we had a request subpoena and then a search warrant regarding some records that were in question for a legal issue. I was served a subpoena to, it ended up to be deposed by, I was deposed by, nice and informally actually, on that, but by the prosecutor and by the defense, and did have a chance to speak and clarify as regards to some of the information and how it is exists in our system. And also never turned down a chance. I was able to ask the individuals who had a library card. And we do have, you know, actually the public defender was, they brought their family to the library on a regular basis. So you never miss a chance on that one. Staff Development Day was last Friday. We had the first of our half-day sessions. that went off very well. We had a feature of the Summer Learning Challenge coming up that, as Maria had mentioned, we are kicking off the Summer Learning Challenge Saturday, June 8th. Put that on your calendars. And talked about our strategic planning situation, where we're at there, and I'll give you more on that in the next section. And customer service. We have a lot of new individuals on board. We want to make sure we're all on the same wavelength, and we are going to be getting, we have new shelvers coming on board and going to be interviewing for some new library clerks. So we're looking to make sure we have a nice uniform base of information for all our workers out there. And that's just leak one little bit about the strategic planning in the surveys, in a lot of the discussions. One of the things that we get as the library as a whole, the staff gets a nice thumbs up and recognition for their interaction with the public and customer service. So we really want to keep that at a nice level for our community. Where we're at on the budget. The public budget workshops were April 1st. I don't know if they planned it that way, but it was April 1st right here in the Sierra Room. And we had two sessions that were led by finance. We had a noon session, lunchtime, and then a directly after work session where individuals from the public could come in to find out what was being proposed across the board and also have a chance to talk to different department directors. And the lunchtime session was definitely the best attended, and I did have a chance to have some good chats with a few of the people that came in, including Phyllis. Thank you for coming in on that. Where we're at with our capital improvement and supplementals. We have gone through the Board of Supervisors, the first review, that was last week as well. Our capital improvement, we got, as I mentioned, just a little bit, mainly break-fix type funding that went through well, as did all the supplementals that we requested. So they've made it through the first pass, the preliminary, and then the final. Unless something huge changes, that should go through to the final budget as well. And the last main item in the library, the Nevada Library Cooperative, they're finishing their strategic planning, and thank you. We had a good meeting on the 8th for their final wrap-up meeting for the local area. They are still planning on doing a larger, what they call the big loop, to other libraries that are a little more remote from this area for their wrap-up meeting. So that's coming to a close, and we should have a library cooperative strategic plan here pretty soon. For the Adams Hub for Innovation, wanted to keep you up to date there. We are kickstarting the educational outreach program. Have had some great input by Kelly, who's over there, working with SCORE, looking to get the Lunch and Learn programs up and going. Matt Westfield, our entrepreneur in residence, has a list that we're going to start scheduling out, and a number of other outreach programs of information and inspirational to get that Adams Hub services out and more visible in the community, and especially the business community. Working on some partnership programs, potential things going on with the Northern Nevada Development Agency, NNDA, and working cooperatively with them in reaching out to the community with their expertise of interacting with the community, first specifically in Carson City, and then looking, they also include other counties, Douglas, Story, and Lyon for the greater business area. And then have ongoing meetings with the Hop and May Adams Foundation Executive Director, Steve Neighbors. So we have a number of good initiatives going there, and I think things are progressing well. So I didn't know if anyone had any comments on what we have here. Okay, and just in relationship with the Adams Hub and some of my meetings that I've had with NNDA and their director and a couple of their other key personnel, we've been able to already highlight the Nevada Career Explorer that we are showcasing and that generated quite a bit of interest, especially because it does have a basic assessment tool, which a lot of career programs don't have. So they were especially interested in that feature. Okay. If there are no further questions on that, we can proceed to budget at your pleasure.
Yeah, I don't see any further discussion. Please move on.
Great. Okay, so for our click, there we go. Open. Where we're at in the budget, we are over 75% through the budget now, now that we're into well into April. Our revenue has settled to a certain point, but at this point, I do want to mention that in revenue, we just recently have been able to acquire two new grants. They are smaller grants, but they are going to be really helpful for the community enrichment. This is a federal funding through the state library. We're able to secure $5,000 between now and the end of the year. Maria Cuesta has worked hard. We were able to put together what we call a rapid rollout of several programs that will benefit from this, and some real exciting stuff we're going to be able to do for some regular programs, and also to really boost some, there's going to be some really cool stuff with the Summer Learning Challenge and the space theme. So you'll be hearing more about that in the next meeting, right? Yeah. You guys, you got to come and see it. It's really cool stuff. The other grant we just found out today is another one of the travel grants. We're able to secure one for Amy to participate in the American Library Association annual conference in June in Washington, D.C. So she was doing her happy dance today. We're able to secure almost $1,500, and then we'll have a match of some additional monies that we have remaining in our travel fund. So that will be a great boost to have that participation and be able to bring that information back to us on that. So we're able to at least wrap up this year with some additional revenue and head out strong on that. Expenditures, we are on track, and I'm going to shift over to some of our budget backup reports so you can see where we're at on the spreadsheets that or the reports that you get. As you see, this 75% lapsed when we were able to run the report, and we're on track on most of these. I can draw your attention to a couple of things in the salary category, where we have, it looks like we have a couple of categories overextended or overspent. These were categories that were zero to start because they don't automatically put in payoffs for when individuals leave. So that part is reconciled at finance. We don't do anything to alter those categories. And a couple of other things that we found, like if you scroll down, you can see in operating, looks like we're already 100% expended. However, there were a couple of costs that weren't in that category that shouldn't have been. So they have been moved out, and that's back to an appropriate level. I can move on to a couple of the other accounts that we have. The gift fund, I think we mentioned before, we were able to get and put in place and already start expending some of the great support that we get from the Friends of the Carson City Library. And that would be, again, the only other additional revenue that we have received. Let me scroll down to grants, and that's, as I mentioned, I think gave you the highlights that we have for the grant funding. On the revenue side, we are in place with our grants. Otherwise, the previous travel grants have been expended and reported. And yeah, that's interesting. and the strategic planning grant is on track with its expenditures as well. And let's get down to the hub. I'll take you actually on that. I think it's a little easier to see on the P&L, our actual situation. And again, with salaries and hourly, we are doing fine. If you look at the overall, actually, I can have you scroll down to where we're at on the net situation, and it looks like we're winding down fairly quickly. Please do remember that the donation that we get from the Hoppin May Adams Foundation does come in May. It's not on the fiscal year. We started in May, and according to the agreement, it will be annual at that time. So we will not be running out of any funding. And actually, we're because of salary savings and a couple of other costs, that won't be an issue with the Adams Hub. A couple of just to follow up on the Adams Hub also that I'll tack it in here, have had a couple of very good meetings with potential startup business individuals that had one today as well that we'll be pursuing to see how they would fit into the Adams Hub profile and where they can be supported by the entrepreneur in residence and help get their business or business ideas into play. So some nice things moving forward on that too. Any questions? All the budget numbers and dollars floating around? What did you have? Did you have something? Nope. Okay. Then
With that, I think we can move on to item 6C.
All right. I wanted to give you an update as to where we're at. The final public workshop meeting was held on April 16th. We had a good our turnout of our regulars. We've had a very faithful cadre of individuals that have come out to just about every meeting and have really dedicated time and thought to assisting in getting this going forward. The documents that you have there were the draft documents that went out. They don't reflect all the work that was done, and there was a lot done in these final 3 hours in looking at core values, looking at vision, looking at mission, and overviewing a number of the goals. So that the report is expected by the end of the month, so we can have that available to present to you, and we would be inviting Dr. Steinman to the our next regular meeting as well when we present that to you at the board. A couple of things in discussion with staff, with a number of the individuals participating, and Dr. Steinman, our consultant, we had a concern based on our survey results and the individuals participating at the community workshops that we might not be getting a good representation from the community as a whole. So in the meantime, we have had several additional focus groups and or interviews, including representatives from business communities and organizations, representatives from the Hispanic community, from school district, those were the three main ones that we've added additional focus groups. So we would have a good representation of input into the planning process itself. Any questions?
Thank you very much, Diane. With that, as noted earlier, we took item 7 after item 4. So I believe that we can move to item 8, the board members' announcements and requests for information. Did any board members have anything that they wanted to bring up at this time?
I'll just bring you up to date on a friend's activities that happened this past month. They had their 5th birthday that Maria referred to. They had a really good turnout, made lots of money on their half-off sale, and that was on Saturday. On that Wednesday, they hosted the chamber mixer for the month. They had an excellent turnout there also. Probably about 40 people. They were coming and going, so nobody actually counted. but they got a lot of positive comments back from them. There were a lot of those business people who did not know we existed until they came to that meeting. We got a lot of business cards, so we got some contacts now for hitting up businesses for memberships and sponsorships and all that good stuff. So it all turned out really well.
Excellent. Thank you, Phyllis. I do have a note under the request for information side. As noted by our public commenter, looking at doing like a mixer or something of that sort, after the interviews, before the decision is made, I'd like to see, just something at the next meeting about what that would, what that might look like, what it might cost, and things of that nature. Can I request that right now, or not the numbers or anything, but
no, on that. So, as I understand, we're going to be looking at and. The board is looking to, one, have a special meeting for the interviews, and I'll be working and with Chairman Hayes to identify when we can do that. And then in between...
Diane, let me interrupt you for a second.
Okay.
I just wanted to, for the record, put on the record that Mr. Chair, you have the authority to call a special meeting. It's not some per the Board of Trustee bylaws. It's not something that requires an act of the entire board.
So, and then following that same day, to have a meet and greet since they will already be here at that time. And
I mean, not necessarily that same day. Maybe the following day. But I don't know.
If they're coming from out of town, I think it would be.
Yeah, do you think go that? Yeah, so probably that same day, that evening afterwards. Yeah.
And just, it's not an action item, but I will be checking in to see or if there's an interest in a non-standard time, not 5 o'clock to hold the interviews, but it could be a different or earlier time that you can call it. Okay.
Yep.
That could also help facilitate a meet and greet.
Perfect.
Okay.
All right. Did any board members have anything further that they wanted to bring up at this time? In that case, we can move on to item 9, public comment. If any members of the public wish to address the Library Board of Trustees, now would be the time. Seeing none forthcoming, we can move on to item 10, adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
We are adjourned.